We're in Orange, which is pushing the limits of the fabulous 413.
No, it's not. It's in Franklin County. It's totally fine just because they have a different area code. They're one of the 4978 we get to claim.
We are here now because it's the 27th annual Garlic and Arts Festival here in Orange, and we're here with one of the founders from Seeds of Solidarity, Deb Habib. 27 years, and it's happening on the 27th and 28th this coming weekend.
Oh, we're squared.
The festival that stinks, the Garlic and Arts Festival, that's the hook. Garlic and arts, but there's always been a greater mission to this festival. Can you talk about the genesis of this event?
Well, I'm going to actually plug in North Quabbin Garlic and Arts Festival.
Aha.
There we go.
Because that's part of the genesis. The genesis was five people who were farmers and artists in this very community saying, hey, we're all leaving to go sell our farm products and art elsewhere. We need something here. Why don't we each chip in $20, which was $100 total, and start a festival? And that was 28 years ago, really, because we had to do the planning.
What was remarkable about it is it's a celebration of agriculture, and we're here with Steve Taranto from CESA, the local hero folks, who are always talking about local farming. But your role with CESA again is?
I'm the climate program coordinator at CESA.
And this week is a special week for CESA.
Yes, it's very special. This is our annual Climate Change and Farming Week. This is the third year we've held this event. And it's an opportunity for not only CESA, but a lot of organizations and farms in the area to highlight the solutions that they're putting into place to deal with this climate crisis and the extreme weather and other kinds of changes that come with it.
And that's always been one of the missions of the Garlic and Arts Festival as well, not just talking about the celebration of local agriculture, but trying to take the next steps into a more sustainable future.
It's true. And sadly, honestly, if we had called this a sustainability festival from the start, we would probably not get 8,000 people through over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's like the festival that stinks, North Quabbin Garlic and Arts. And then there's this sub-theme, this internal curriculum, this strong set of values that are all about teaching people in a loving way about this beautiful earth that we live on. And so we're headed right now for, as we walk the festival field on a setup day, to the portal to the future.
The portal to the future?
Great Scott!
Is it a phone booth that we can travel in, like Bill and Ted?
Let's try!
Excellent!
Bring us to a positive future now.
Well, what's interesting to me, it is depressing when you think about the state of things climatologically in so many ways. However, Deb, you drove here in an electric car today. I drove here in an electric car today. Steven drove here in an electric car today. Janice, who is joining us, drove here in two electric cars somehow. I don't know how you drive two cars at the same time.
It's me. I'm the problem.
No. But the fact is that 27 years ago, that would have seemed like magic or something. It would have been something we hoped for, but that was not a possibility when this festival started.
It's true. And many of us are charging our electric vehicles on solar electricity at our own homes. And
like
there
me.
Will be, yeah. And there will be a full EV tent here where people can come and learn from the owners as part of the festival as well.
And sustainability is built into this festival. The first thing that really blew my mind about it was how little trash an 8,000-person festival generates. How many bags of trash will go to a landfill at the end of this festival?
Guess.
One.
Oh, come on.
Zero.
Two.
But that's always the way that it's been, even since it began. Yeah. You were like the first people I'd ever heard of using compostable plates and forks and things like that. But Janice Kirkowski, who's here with us, who you go by Edie?
I go by Edie when I'm at the festival.
We should call you EV.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Let's do that.
Hi, yeah, my husband and I joined the festival. We met Ricky at a Earth Day event in Amherst.
Ricky is Deb's husband, who's walking over there putting up orange fencing.
And he said, why don't you, because my husband's an electrician and he's been installing solar since the mid-80s or something. Anyway, he said, can you bring a little bit of like sustainability information to the festival? And we're like, oh yeah, we live in Warwick. It's not that far to travel. And we're like, yeah, we can do that. So we started to invite speakers on like wind power and solar power and water power and things like that way back then. And then I do the invitations to the speakers, and then I realized it's kind of boring. Well, no, it's interesting. It used to be really on the
cutting edge,
back then. And now it's like, ho-hum, I've got three people in a solar workshop. That's not going to happen. So let's call it local living and renewable energy. And we started inviting people, you know, along the theme of skilling up for an uncertain future. Any tricks to raising chickens? How about making kimchi, natural fermentation, and skilling up? And so those are really well attended, raising bees for honey, pollinator workshops, turning your lawn into a field, things like that. So we have...
Dowsing this year.
Yes, dazzling for water.
I love that. Yeah. Witchcraft in action.
I mean, we went to a farm where they used that to put their water lines in. It's so cool.
You did?
Well, yeah, we did early on. And I have to say, you know, as people know, we're farmers. We have Seeds of Solidarity Farm down the road from the festival site. And that deep artesian well with a high recharge rate found by a dowser has been essential to our ability, in addition to the no-till regenerative methods that we use, you know, to get us through this really rough drought season.
Yeah, we have been in a major drought right now. I bet, Stephen, from CESA, you are hearing about this from a lot of farmers. Mm. Is this being tied into your climate change and farming week? The fact that we have huge floods in 2023, kind of a normal 2024, but 2025, it hasn't rained practically since June.
Yeah, exactly. And last year, we also had what's called a winter drought. We didn't really have precipitation between October and April of last year. Very little snowfall. So it's really becoming a problem for farmers. And here in New England, a lot of farmers have not invested in irrigation equipment. So it's a challenge when we get these dry periods. But yeah, that's the kind of thing that this week is all about, because we have a lot of events out on farms where people can see and ask farmers and find out what they're doing. There's all kinds of solutions going on out there to keep some food security here locally. And Climate Change and Farming Week is just about going out and seeing those solutions and giving farmers some attention and some appreciation for what they do, because it is really, really hard to farm under these extreme conditions that we're seeing.
It's hard to farm regardless. It's extra hard to farm in these conditions.
Exactly.
One of the things that's interesting about this festival, apart from only two bags of trash for 8,000 people, is the way that you are powering the festival as well this year. And we mentioned our electric vehicles pulling in here. How will the sound and lights and whatever else will be here be powered, Edie, from the North Quabbin Garlic and Arts Festival?
So, this year, there's a Chevrolet dealer, Salvador Chevrolet in Gardner, is going to bring two fully outfitted electric Silverados. Hopefully, they won't sell them before.
So you're going to power the whole festival with two?
Don't go buy one, please.
Wait until Monday.
Buy one.
You're going to power the whole festival?
Buy it on the 29th and still get your rebate.
Off of two Chevy trucks?
No. So there are parts of the festival that are way away from the barn where the grid is.
Okay.
So those remote places, like there's a Thai food truck. They have lots of refrigerators and things like that, and they're way down here. So we'll just park a Chevy Silverado next to them. The Chevy could power a normal home for days. So people put battery banks in their basement, you know, for 10 grand. I'm like, just buy an electric car. You've got 6 or 10 times the amount of batteries in a rolling battery bank.
And you can also drive it places
and
help your friend move.
Sorry, and PV Squared for many, 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 many years have, and they will bring again, they have a portable trailer with batteries inside and a solar panels, and they'll power the main stage. And there's a whole dance that's going to have to happen, you know, juggling which vehicle is powering which venue. But we have, you know, spoken word needs a, you know, microphone. I need a projector microphone and laptop down here.
We've also got this crazy resourceful neighborhood with, like, people who make a lot of their own stuff. You know, another neighbor who runs an organ shop and is also a solar installer, Stefan, will probably bring one of his rigs that can power things. So it's pretty cool.
That's been part of the, like, the basis of this festival in general. The last time we were here, we were talking with you, and all of these neighbors showed up to put in the fencing and put the straw down for the paths and things. It's all about community effort, this entire festival.
It is. That's basically what's happening now. And a number of the people on the field working up at the top there today are exhibitors, because we try and keep not only the admission really low and accessible, but we also want it to be affordable for the exhibitors, because the whole idea is, like, this is to support people in our low-wealth community who are artists and farmers. So they all chip in, and all of us organizers are volunteer. The whole thing is nonprofit. Anything left over from setting it up gets making sure we can have a festival the next year, and then mini grants within the North Quabbin region for food, energy, well-being.
We are in Orange, the home base of this weekend's 27th annual North Quabbin Garlic and Arts Festival, with one of the festival founders from Seeds of Solidarity, Deb Habib, Edie Janice Kirkowski, who is taking us to the portal to the future, I believe, Woo! Very shortly as part of this festival, and Stephen Taranto, who is from CESA and who is celebrating, I guess, their Climate Change and Farming Week. One of the things that's going to get powered this weekend is Kalee Smith.
Yay. Yeah, we're playing this festival.
Who's we?
My band Extemper is playing on Sunday, so everybody who's been complaining about me singing off tune in our promos can see that, no, I do actually sing well.
Well, let me just pause to defend Kalee here for one moment. Kalee always sings, or Where You Get Your Podcast, at the end of our little promos, and some people say she's singing off key. There is no key to be singing off to.
It's tuneless, yeah, not off key.
Anyway.
Because there's no music.
Wait till you see Extemper. Can I say
rule? Yeah, because
I'll bleep myself out. Yeah.
So I told Ricky to wait around because we're going to move the earth.
What does this mean, Deb Habib? You keep saying we're going to go to the portal to the future and we're going to move the earth.
And it sounds awesome.
Is Carole King coming?
I feel the earth move.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
No, we have to move it with our hands. We can't be Carole King. She moves the earth with her feet.
Well,
this archway, beautiful archway, built by another volunteer, will be here. And you will enter the portal to the future.
Oh!
Tell us about what the portal to the future... Here's the portal to the future! I'm going into it right now! No, that's actually just an empty truck.
It's an evergreen. It's like PTSD from Suez Canal.
Don't you
want
to move it?
It's very heavy. But,
I know, but Ricky's coming.
All right. So can I give you a mini tour?
Yes, please.
Do we get to help move the earth?
A couple minutes.
Okay, so on your right, when you enter the portal, you will find electric bikes on display. And in this tent, it's 40 feet long, we will have four different electric vehicles. There'll be a John Deere from Mark Fellows in Warwick, who converted a John Deere tractor to electric. We'll have another display over here with an electric cargo bike that was a self-conversion by Brian Nugent in Athol. And then we have the presentation tent, where every hour there's a new presentation. The fellow from Mount Wachusett Community College, wildfire in New England, is it an issue, and things like that. And then we will have Rich Earth Institute and their pea cycling porta-potties.
They're from Brattleboro, right?
Yeah. Yes.
The only reason they haven't been on the show already is that they're from Brattleboro, but pea cycling is so right up our alley. It is exactly what it sounds like.
413-978-8022.
We can't. There are rules.
There'll be porta-potties behind the renewable energy local living tent, and there'll be a pea cycling station for people who can stand up and pee. And then there'll be a composting display with Ben Goldberg, and he does composting toilets. Then we'll have Batch Ice Cream selling the famous garlic ice cream.
Way better than you think it is.
I actually like it. Our plan is to have a table with canning jars, empty canning jars, and you get to spin a wheel, you know, like what are those game shows? Sorry.
Price is Right.
Price is Right. Thank you. If you land on 8, you get 8 little paper hearts, and you get to vote with your heart on what part of the world you love that might disappear. Anyway, no, we won't say that, but there will be like, you know, butterflies, bees, the Statue of Liberty, you know, things like that. So you can just visualize. We did this once with money, and we're like, let's just get away from money. What do we love? What can we vote for with our hearts? So that's a sort of a kid's thing, and, you know, families, and spin the wheel. It's a game.
Edie, you gave me an idea for a new game, because there's garlic games all weekend. We should do spin the bottle after everyone's eaten a garlic clove.
I love that.
Not this year. Maybe next year.
Maybe
next year, because I was up till midnight peeling garlic for the raw garlic eating contest, and I'm not peeling anymore.
That's fair.
So, what are the other garlic-related games?
Yeah.
Vampire slaying?
Oh, yeah. No, we've got... Yeah, you know what? Once I got a call from a Broadway producer, and they gave us tickets to, like, a vampire-type play that we gave out, I remember. There's, like, so
amazing.
Many stories. There's so many stories. I know.
How can you not?
There's a garlic and egg toss. There's the raw garlic eating contest, which is 3 o'clock on Saturday. There's garlic sack race. There's tug of garlic. So the idea is just to, like, it's really fun. It happens in the main area, and just get, you know, everybody playing and everybody having a good time.
Sunday at noon, there will be a sort of a presentation, but they call it a mixer. They're young people, 16 and 17 years old, 5 of them. They're here to talk about climate change in from Gen Z perspective. Like, what can we do? Now, it's not just like...
We don't want to flush the earth down the skibbity toilet.
Right, right. It's their inheritance. So they'll be mixing us up in small groups so we can talk about action items. And they are so engaged. The woman that organized it, she has had a booth here since she was 11 years old.
Yeah. Woman. She's still only like 17.
She's amazing. She's awesome. Yeah, she got the Peace Prize from, Trap Rock. So I'm really excited that that's like, finally, I've been after her for a few years. She's like, no, I'm too busy. I have a booth here. I'm like, no, this is like, it's climate action. Let's go and see. So I can't wait to see what they've put together.
We need to energize more of your peers into being you.
Yeah, as you can see.
Edie points to her gray hair. Stephen is here from CISA, the local hero, folks, and we every week talk with CISA, usually with a farmer, but farms, you're a farmer, Deb. You've trained farmers with Seeds of Solidarity. That's part of the teaching mission of Seeds of Solidarity right down the street from where we are right now in Orange. But what other farms will be represented here at the Gallican Arts Festival?
Yeah, we've got a wonderful couple, Michael and Kara from Free Living Farm. And Petersham, we've got Jared Duval, who's a really great farmer in New Salem. He and his partner, Anna. We've got Tony from Songsboro.
Chase Hill Farm from Warwick.
Oh, yes, Chase Hill Farm, Warwick.
Hattie Bell.
That's representing a huge family farm.
Hattie Bell, by the executive director of CISO.
Oh, my gosh. How could I have almost not said that? And they were here before they were at CISO, okay? Yeah, so we've got a real mix of mushroom, of veggies, of herbs. Foxtrot Farm is here, and Abby's done these awesome, like, flyers and posters and banners around climate change that she's been spreading around. So there's some great folks here that are well educated, and, you know, I think importantly, many practicing no-till agroecological practices, which is critical, right? We had a build at Seeds of Solidarity. We could not go down into the ground, which ended up being sort of a mixed blessing. We had to learn how and figure out, after having been, you know, organic tractor farmers, how to build from the ground up and do it all by hand and no-till and build healthy soil, you know, in order that stores carbon as well, which is a critical part of it. We need to keep pulling the carbon out of the atmosphere and keep it in the ground where it belongs. It's called sequestering carbon. And so these methods, the no-till agroecological methods, are really essential in doing that.
I don't know if we're going to be able to move the earth. Is that what you think? You think it's too heavy?
We're going to move the earth.
Oh, let me
we're
going
to try.
Let's.
Okay, so here we are. Try. Here we are to move the earth.
What is it? It's a 6-foot round structure made of rebar.
It's an earth.
And it's
made
earth. Out of rebar. It can spin. It can spin on its axis.
Yeah, it looks like a giant scale globe.
Right. We need to move the earth.
It was originally painted blue, and somebody at a meeting said, "Let's paint it red. You know, earth on fire."
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, you know, let me do it. I got all this.
Then you wouldn't know it's the earth. You'd think
right.
It was a red ball.
Right.
Like, hey, we're moving to Mars.
I spent a day and a half down here painting it what still looks like the earth with the polar ice cap and a little bit of clouds and fire at the bottom.
At the bottom.
You know, thinking of the global south and the two-thirds world is really on fire. So this is about all of us.
Stephen Taranto from CISA, who is hosting Climate Change and Farming Week. What else is in store besides the North Quabbin Garlic and Arts Festival this Saturday and Sunday for CISA's Climate Week?
This year we have the most events we've ever had, which has been really nice to see a lot of organizations and farms just approaching CISA to host events. This year we have 11 different events. You know, a lot of the events that we have focus on production of food and, you know, how farms are being affected. This evening, we actually have a workshop that is a space where people can come and grieve a little bit, where farmers can come and talk about the way that the impacts of climate change are affecting them, maybe in their outlook on life, because a lot of farmers now, because it's so difficult, are just giving up. And so we have just a facilitator coming in to help folks talk a little bit about the ways that climate change is affecting them and helping them maybe grieve a little bit about how it's affecting their business and the land that farmers love so much. Tomorrow night, UMass, for example, has gotten on board. We now have 3 of the local colleges are involved this year, and UMass is hosting a panel discussion with a bunch of thought leaders from the area working on food security and climate-related ag issues, and they're going to have an all-you-can-eat local food buffet at the dining hall, and then there'll be a panel discussion. And so we're trying, you know, working with colleges is something that we've recently started doing because we want to get young people engaged. So there's going to be on Thursday a workshop at Hampshire College where you can see folks who are trying to farm without using tractors as much. You know, we heard about the converted tractor that's going to be here that's becoming emissions from tractors is a huge source for what we're dealing with now. And so the idea of, you know, reducing how much you have to use a tractor for many reasons, you know, it's going to be on display this week. And then Friday, we have a really exciting full day farm crawl where we're going to be visiting three different farms in the area that are growing food on trees and shrubs rather than plowing up their land every year. And we wind up the day at Carr's Cider House, where we'll have an open discussion and some cider and pizzas if folks want to stop by for that. And then last but not least in terms of dates is the festival here.
And the festival here is the North Quabbin Garlic and Arts Festival. It'll happen for the 27th time on the 27th and 28th this coming weekend. Khalees, what time is Extemper, your band, playing on Sunday?
I believe we're playing at 2.
And there's all sorts of other entertainment, too.
Yes.
But Khalees's band is the best band. That'll be...
Well, you know, if you're not into weird, loud math rock with fun harmonies, maybe it's not your thing.
Deb, we have a listener who brought up an excellent question, because we talk about so many great festivals, etc. If you're in a wheelchair, is the Garlic and Arts Festival navigable, or if you have limited mobility?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. There's a FAQs on the website with a bunch of things around accessibility, no, dogs except service dogs, of course. And basically, there's parking right across the street for accessible parking. And then the main field is quite accessible. It's flat. We leave the lanes between booths quite wide and flat. There's an accessible porta potty, we've made sure there's several food vendors on the main field so that people can access food down here.
Sweet. Okay, Ricky's here to help us move the earth.
So as mentioned, the organizing committee is like 30 people, and then we have all these exhibitors also, and everybody does a part. So we've got Tony from Song Sparrow and Mike Otera and Frank, who makes gorgeous fermentation jugs and is an artist. And also
who taught my son Enzo how to do pottery. Yep.
Yeah, and we're going to try moving this globe.
Lift with your legs.
One, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
You got this.
Back up.
Come on. Move.
Down, 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 down